The average utility bill is forecast to be 8.5% higher this summer. That's according to the National Energy Assistant Directors Association. So how can we prepare? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the factors behind those higher prices and help available if you're struggling to pay your bills are Duke Energy Ohio and Kentucky Regional President Amy Spiller. Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you, Lucy. Happy to be here with you again.
Great to have you. And Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency Housing Policy Advocate, Matt Strauss. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you both. Amy, I mentioned that report that forecasts electricity costs to cool homes will be higher, 8.5% higher this year on average than last year. I think it even said 37% higher than in 2020. Any idea what we can expect locally? I don't know if Duke has its own forecasts.
Sure. And Lucy, as we think about the summer, as you and I have talked before, I think the important factors are how much our customers are using to cool their homes and run their businesses, and then the cost of the service that we're providing. And I think with the efficiencies that we continue to deploy in our service of our customers, we know that our rates are below the national average. And in Ohio, we sit in a regional transmission organization. We do not own or operate generating assets, those assets that are responsible for producing power. And we know that market that provides that generation supply is seeing some higher prices, probably a 22% increase at that wholesale level for generation, again, to produce the electrons that serve our customers. For our customers in Ohio, what we are anticipating in this summer, beginning in June and carrying over for about a year, is about a 3% total bill increase for that generation supply. Mm. And again, that is a cost that we pass through directly to our customers at no markup. So what we're seeing here is maybe a little different than those numbers that you just relayed.
Yeah. What about in Kentucky?
In Kentucky, again, we have the lowest prices of the utilities in Kentucky and continue to own and operate our generating assets very efficiently to serve our customers.
Mm-hmm. Are you expecting an increase in Kentucky?
I am not.
Okay. Okay. Well, you mentioned the bigger increase at the wholesale level for the generator of this power that Duke supplies its customers. What are some of the reasons for that? Is it because of rising temperatures? Is it rising? Why are their prices increasing so much, or their costs?
I think some of it, Lucy, is a factor of PJM, again, this regional transmission organization that is responsible for moving power across those interstate transmission lines. So 13 states and the District of Columbia comprise the PJM footprint. And what they are seeing in their states is a reduction in supply. So retirement primarily of coal plants, and then forecasting increased demand. So increased demand for electricity, and those two factors, supply and demand, can create some upward pressure on prices.
Okay. Well, Matt, I know these increases can hit people really hard. I read that one out of every six U.S. households are behind on their energy bills. What do you hear from people at Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency? Is this a worry for a lot of people?
Yeah, we assist people mostly to get on payment plans. We have a call-in line for appointments, and you need to call in at 9 precisely for a same-day appointment. And what we're hearing, I sit next to the person who does the scheduling, and she says, call, and if you get a busy signal, call again like you're trying to win tickets on the radio because everybody's calling.
Wow, that's how busy the line is,
It is busy, yeah. It is hitting people.
Yeah. So 9 a.m. people have to call exactly. Do you have any idea how quickly all those appointments fill up then?
It can be 15 minutes.
Wow. Okay. Well, Matt, what help is available for people locally?
So at CAA, we help people with the percentage of income payment plan. So that isn't, we're not paying people's bills. We don't have money for that right now. Those program, we do have some programs like that, summer crisis, winter crisis. We're not in those periods right now. So With PIP, we're able to get people, if you pay what you're able to pay for 2 years, then the rest is forgiven, which is a wonderful way to do things. But beyond that, people are struggling to find places to go. We generally send them to the United Way's 211 number to see if they can find other sources who, you know, might have a little bit. We are seeing people with sometimes, you know, thousands of dollars in arrearages. And that's hard to help with.
Yeah. Well, and I bet it's even hard to call in right at 9 a.m. if you're working for some people.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And we do have some ability to do this online, but it's pretty limited and the wait list is weeks.
Mm. Wow. Well, Matt, don't you all have a kind of a resource fair coming up soon? Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Yes. So May 19th, we at CAA are hosting with a lot of other great organizations, Smart Savings Utility Fair, 9 to noon, free to the public. You don't have to RSVP, and it is there to connect people with help and not just with paying the bills. A big portion of what we're trying to get across to folks is how to keep your bills down. Ways to be energy efficient. Some things people don't realize are using up a lot of their utility bills. And Waterworks will be there too, and Metropolitan Sewer District. So water bills, people don't realize just how many gallons you're wasting by that toilet running. So there are ways to get help with that kind of thing.
Yeah. When we have information about that Utilities Resource Fair on our website, wvxu.org, if you want to check that out and figure out the hours and make plans if you need to get there. Amy, you were talking about the increase in demand that PJM is facing. How much of a role do data centers figure into the need, that increasing demand?
With respect to the forecast for energy energy demand, Lucy, they are playing a part. So that anticipated load from new data centers, from new large load, advanced manufacturing and the like, PJM has to plan for that, as do our utilities. I think part of what's not being talked about with respect to data centers is the overall impact that they can have in a community that is welcoming to that new enterprise. They can actually put some downward pressure on utility rates because you have more volume over which to spread system costs. So think of introducing a larger user to the system that can help put that downward pressure on rates.
Huh. That's really interesting, because the concerns that we hear a lot on our program is concerns from people who say, hey, you know, I'm worried my bill is going to go up. I think my bill is going to go up because all this infrastructure has to be built to support the data centers, and then somebody has to pay for that infrastructure, and that somebody might be me. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. And I want to assure you and your listeners today that affordability of the product that we do provide to our customers is top of mind now more than ever. And when we at Duke Energy think about our current customers, our commitment to serving them is priority one, ensuring that safe access to reliable service. We also need to make sure we're prepared to support new customers who may come into our jurisdictions. And with regard to new large load data centers, we have created what I would call performance criteria for those data centers. As they are coming onto our systems, we are asking them to sign agreements with us to ensure that they are bearing the cost for the infrastructure needed to directly serve them. We want them to have minimum monthly billing demands, right? Again, so that we're not unfairly shifting the cost of that infrastructure to our other customers. We're going to ask them to stay on our system for a minimum period of time. And if there is particular engineering work, pre-work that we need to do to understand the infrastructure necessary to serve them, we're asking that data center to pay for that work. So we are structuring in all of our jurisdictions criteria for these new data center, keeping that affordability and access to reliable service top of mind for our customers.
Okay. And that's in Ohio and Kentucky.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're talking about higher energy costs that are being forecast for this summer and the help that's available to pay your bills and reduce your costs. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Amy, I also want to talk to you about gas utility costs. I mean, I'll confess that when I think of natural gas, I think about heating your home. I think about maybe a gas dryer or a stove or something like that. How much do natural gas prices come into play for summer energy costs?
Natural gas, Lucy, can be a fuel and is becoming more prevalent as a fuel for electric generation. So it is the fuel source that is behind those power plants. What we are seeing with natural gas prices now is that across the United States, they're low. The prices are higher in Asia and in Europe, but right now the prices of natural gas are low. And that natural gas price really sets the market for electricity prices. And so right now, I mean, it's a favorable time that can change with the amount of production that happens domestically.
Mm-hmm. Do you get concerns when you all hear from people at Community Action Agency, Matt? Do people think about their utility bills in terms of gas being different from electric, being different from water? Do they come in and say, I just need help with all of this?
Well, for us, it's a big picture issue. I mean, I'm the housing guy, and I'm here to talk about electric even and gas, even though we've got a lot of people who are really on that, because people are supposed to spend no more than 30% of their income on their housing, and that includes your utilities. And so people come in and they say, I need help with something, and that's a pretty big number. And so what can I do with that? I don't know that a lot of them are cognizant of the difference on their bill. They just see, what do I owe?
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that we want to do at this utilities fair is teach people, hey, here are concrete ways that you can lower certain usages, mm-hmm. Things in insulating, using the sun and pulling down the shades at the right time of day. And so if they become more aware of that, I think they will be able to manage it better.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about some of those tips that you can share with people that are maybe low cost? I mean, if you're going to invest in new appliances, new things like that, that you can certainly save energy that way. But there are some of these lower cost things that people can do to really reduce those bills, right?
And some of them are free. They're simple things like knowing when to open your windows and then close them and then pull down the shades and then open them based on using the sunshine either in the winter to heat properly. Or they're programmable thermostat. I just looked up today. They're about $50 to $100 for those. For some people, that's a stretch, but they will save you in pretty short order, that'll save you that money. So it's a good investment. Using your fans right. If you have ceiling fans, there's a certain direction you want to go in the summer and certain in the winter. So those don't cost you any money, but there are some appliances. I know we stopped using the range to heat our kettle for tea in the morning. We use electric now. And so little things like that you can do. And if you do enough of them, they add up and you'll see it.
Yeah. And Duke has tips like that too, yep. Amy, right? I mean, those ceiling fans are great, but shouldn't you turn them off if you're not in the room?
Absolutely. Yeah. That is correct. And I just wanted to extend our gratitude to the CAA, a great partnership that we have with them, and appreciate the work of that organization in getting these tips out. And so Matt's exactly right. So counterclockwise ceiling fans, I think in the summertime, to help move that cool air around. But when you leave the room, turn off the fan, and sealing those cracks, right, to keep the cold air out in the winter and to keep the cool air in the summertime. Adjusting your thermostat. We still want our customers to be comfortable in their homes, but if you can adjust that thermostat up a little bit in the summertime, and the same with a water heater, right? Again, making sure that folks are comfortable and safe, but even a couple of degrees on that water heater can help.
Yeah, I know a thermostat is such a personal issue in terms of when people are comfortable, but is there any kind of range that you recommend for summer cooling months that, hey, this is, if you can, you should really target keeping it at such and such a point?
I would say, Lucy, probably over 73 degrees. Again, we do want our customers to be comfortable. And Matt talked about pulling down the shades. So drawing the shades and the blinds, those curtains, when the summer sun is at its hottest point. I think those are, again, just free tips and measures that our customers can deploy to try to save on their energy usage.
Yeah. And I imagine that thermostat's something that you talk with folks about too, huh, Ryan, or that your colleagues at CAA talk to people about.
Yeah, most definitely. And at our event, we're going to have Duke will be there. And so will people working cooperatively to give a talk about how to, you know, all kinds of different tips. They'll have handouts. And so people will learn a lot more in depth.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we will continue this conversation after a short break. And later in the program, we talk with a writer and historian behind a new comic book about the first Asian American settlement in the U.S. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about summer energy costs and help available to pay those bills and reduce those costs. My guests are Duke Energy Ohio and Kentucky Regional President Amy Spiller and Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency Housing Policy Advocate Matt Strauss. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Amy, before the break, we were talking about natural gas, and you were saying it's become a real source of generating electricity, a real fuel source for that. I know the U.S. is a huge producer of natural gas. I wondered, is there any sense whether the war in Iran could eventually have an impact on natural gas prices here?
Great question, Lucy. And what we're seeing here in the United States is the war is impacting oil prices. They are now at probably a four-year high. Fortunately, we don't use oil in the production of electricity very much at all within our jurisdictions or even across the United States. So that's good news. As I shared earlier, we're seeing higher natural gas prices in Asia and in Europe, but not here domestically. I think there could be it's yet to be seen whether or not those higher natural gas prices in Asia and in Europe will maybe create a shift with more demand for other fuel types here in the United States and more exports. So I think it really is yet to be seen. I think fortunately we're in a good position, again, here in the United States with natural gas prices. They will be influenced by the amount of domestic production. And then I also think as well, do you potentially see more exports of coal over to Asia and Europe to counter the increases in natural gas prices there?
Mm-hmm. What about infrastructure for natural gas? When I was doing my homework for this conversation, I saw that a lot of utilities are finding a need to replace gas pipes and spend more on delivery just because the pipes are aging, they degrade over time. You know, you have to keep up with that investment. Is that something that could be a need locally?
We have been very diligent in maintaining our natural gas delivery system here in Southwest Ohio and Northern Kentucky. And some of that work, Lucy, resulted in our Central Corridor pipeline that we put in service probably in March of 2022. We have a new high pressure pipeline out in Claremont County running from Bethel to Batavia, again, to support growth, but also system reliability. So investments that we have made in response to the fact that we do have aging infrastructure. We also have requirements at the federal level, safety requirements, and want to be sure we're in compliance with those. Toward that end, we have a multi-year pipeline replacement project in Northern Kentucky, where we are taking older pipeline that has been in service for decades and replacing that to ensure that safe, reliable access to our system.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Jack. Thanks so much for listening and for calling. What's your question?
Well, I live in not a big apartment complex, not an older one, but I have all electric heat. There is one air conditioning unit in the program. But my heating bills go, my electric bills do go from about $40 in the summertime to $390 in the wintertime. And I've called both Duke Energy and the apartment complex. It's one of the biggest, apartment groups in all of Cincinnati, to say, what can I do? I don't have a thermostat. I had somebody come in from the landlord's thing to look at my heat, but basically the guy said, well, just keep it turned down all the time. Well, I'm not sure if that's any kind of a help for a person like me, and I'm wondering if that's something that they address at their community meetings or something else you can address on the program.
Well, thank you, Jack. That is tricky if you don't have a thermostat to be able to control that temperature. Do you hear that a lot from folks at Community Action Agency?
I haven't heard that specifically, but it sounds like a pretty big problem. I would imagine there's got to be something they can do, maybe in the lease, because that electric is pretty inefficient way to heat. It's great for the summer, but like you said, $40 in the summer, $300 in the winter, that's a big difference. I know that, I'm not sure, does Duke do the home energy audits in apartments?
We, Matt, are not doing those in Ohio. And Jack, I would also encourage you to take a look at your bill. I don't know if you are receiving generation supply from Duke Energy Ohio or a supplier. I would agree with Matt that electric heat may not be the most efficient option for a customer during the winter months. And we are coming off of an incredibly cold winter heating season where that system was probably working harder to maintain that temperature at whatever it may have been set in within Jack's apartment.
Yeah, and I might suggest looking into even billing, because if you're spending $40 in the summer and $300 in the winter, if you can spread that out throughout the year, it's still paying the same amount, but it's not as painful in the winter.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Jack. That sounds like quite a problem. I'm sorry you're having to deal with that, and I hope you can get some relief from that big fluctuation. We talked before about some of the inexpensive steps people can take to lower their bills. Matt, you were talking about knowing when to keep your shades up in the winter, down in the summer to kind of take advantage of that sunlight or keep it from heating up your home too much. What about, and you were talking about insulation, weather stripping, what about changing filters? I mean, how important is that when it comes to reducing that bill, just to make sure you've got a clean filter in your HVAC system?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people don't even realize they need to do that. And there are different sizes, types of filters. Some of them you have to change once a month. Some of them twice a year. So it is very important, because it keeps the efficiency going. And again, it's an expense to have your units cleaned out every year, do spring cleaning or fall for the winter. But it could be worth it. It could be saving you money by, you spend it now to save it later.
Yeah, yeah. Is that, Matt was just talking about cleaning up the unit. Is it a good idea to get kind of a pre-season tune-up or check-up for your air conditioner before it gets super hot?
Absolutely, Lucy. And that is a great flag that you mentioned, to make sure that the appliances that you do have within your home are working efficiently. And some of those measures, changing out the air filters in your HVAC unit, is relatively simple, relatively low cost, to make sure that the unit continues to function efficiently.
Yeah, I know mine usually has a lot of cat hair in it.
Same.
Yeah. You know my pain, yeah. So yes. Amy, what should people consider if they're thinking about upgrading their air conditioning system? That's a much bigger expense typically, but what kinds of things should they be looking for if they're looking to take that plunge?
Great question. And my advice there, Lucy, would be that they seek out different reputable HVAC companies in our region and get a couple of different quotes, making sure what is important for them and their individual circumstance. But I would be very competitive, because that is a significant investment. So I would just make sure that they're talking to several different vendors that we have here locally. And Matt, you may have some other suggestions on that as well.
If you are income qualified, People Working Cooperatively does heating and air conditioning units for people who might not be able to afford it. And Just give, I don't have their number in front of me, but they're easy to find, and they are very, very helpful. If you are able to afford, the more efficient unit you can get, the better, because you may pay more upfront, but it'll save you over a long period of time.
Yeah. Does people working cooperatively, do they focus on efficient units as far as you know?
I don't know. That's okay. They'll be there on the 19th.
There
we can
go.
Ask.
You got to go to that. You can get more information about that utilities resource fair on our website, WVXU.org. Amy, what about these plug-in solar panels? I was reading up on those. Can those make a big difference for people if they can afford that upfront cost? Because they're not inexpensive.
As our customers think about plug-in solar panels, we want to be sure that they're communicating with us. It's critically important, Lucy, from a safety perspective, that we know all of the infrastructure that is sort of being incorporated into our larger infrastructure. What we don't want to see is a circumstance where there may be some problem on that circuit, and we send out an employee to go address what they think is a de-energized circuit, only to see that there's something else feeding the circuit. That can be a very significant safety hazard for our employees. So I'm going to ask anyone who is looking at those solar panels to be sure that they're communicating with us.
Okay, so it's not a surprise when a technician comes out and finds something like that.
Correct. And we want to make sure that they have those shutoff valves that are readily accessible, whether for our crews or for the fire department or whomever. We are certainly seeing some more rooftop solar for individuals who can afford that and take advantage of the sun rays to help with their own individual energy needs.
Mm-hmm. Does that end up transferring costs to people who don't have those solar panels, like the infrastructure costs and that kind of thing?
The expectation is that an individual who, for example, places rooftop solars on their individual residence is that they are doing so to meet their own power needs, that consumption within their homes.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Duke Energy, Ohio and Kentucky Regional President Amy Spiller and Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency Housing Policy Advocate Matt Strauss. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
Up next, the first Asian American settlement in the U.S. is now the subject of a comic book. We talk with the writer and historian about these Filipino pioneers. This is Cincinnati Edition.